Hi, welcome to Let's Talk About Autism in Monglish. My name is Tia. I am a mental health professional working with kiddos with autism for the past 16 years. And I wanted to talk more about how autism impacts the Hmong community. And I am a co-founder of an online Facebook group. And we offer support and opportunities for families and parents to reach out to gain resources about how to help their loved one living with autism. But I wanted to create a podcast that allows for us to have an even more conversation in Monglish about autism, because I don't feel that this is a topic that is being discussed enough. And I wanted to create an avenue where I can have more intimate conversations with others out there who are willing and invested in this topic as well, to kind of dive down these various topics with me. So for our first episode, I am speaking with a fellow Hmong mother who has been very active in our groups, and we have been sharing about the various characters in Korean dramas who are characters living with autism. So join us for our chat. Hi, so today I am with a friend from another group, a Hmong autism group. We met there, and I've seen her post about different movies, especially K-dramas with characters or plot lines talking about individuals with autism. And I've been really wanting to talk about it, so I invited her to come chat with me. So welcome. Thank you so Hello. Much for joining me today.
Hi.
Hello. Glad to be here. Yes. So if you don't mind, and of course, you don't have to reveal any names or anything, but will you share just a little bit about your kiddo, age, what he's doing right now in terms of services, or, just a little bit more information, background information?
Yeah. My son is 3. He's my second child, my youngest. And we found out that he was on the autism spectrum last February. We got his diagnosis. Although I already suspected that when he was an infant, I was just not wanting to believe it. And so once we got his diagnosis, we started the ball rolling, and we got him into occupational therapy and speech, and he was already in preschool because we were trying to already push him to grow a little bit. But he just wasn't growing. He made some progress, and then he got stuck about 6 months ago. So then we started looking at ABA therapy. And so we've been trying really hard to get that going. And we finally got him started yesterday, his first day in ABA. So we're excited to see how much progress we're going to make in the next couple of weeks.
Yay. So you said he's 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you saw signs when he was an infant? Mm-hmm. So were we talking 12 months old or even younger?
Younger. I think it was really noticeable when he was probably 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
That was the most noticeable time, because he really wouldn't look at anyone. He really wouldn't respond to his name.
Yeah.
It was really hard to make him laugh and smile. He just looks like Grumpy. So we started calling him Grumpy mm-hmm. Cat. So that was his little pet name during that time, was Grumpy Cat, because he was just mad about everything. So that's when I had the first thought enter my mind, what if he's autistic? But I didn't mm-hmm. know what that looked like at the time.
Right. And you said he's your second, right? And so with your first child, you went through, and how much older is your
child? He's 13. So
okay, they're so 10 years when you had your
baby. They're actually 9 years apart, but then their birthdays just fall into place where my son turns a year older, a couple months.
Oh, right.
Because one's born in December, the other one's in March. So the older one, you know, he's in March, so it's almost 10 years apart. But yeah, he was really easy, and he just picked up on everything. He was actually talking and knew all his phonics and sign language to all his alphabet letters by the time he was 18 months old, and he was writing his name before he even turned two. So he was like really advanced and just gifted, and just anything that I showed him or taught him or spoke to him about, he was able to do it with ease. Like, he was reading books before he turned two, he turned three. I'm sorry. So yeah, so that's why I'm like, so with him being so easy, and then my second one, it was like complete opposite. And so we were like, mm-hmm. what's happening? So I actually thought I was a great mom with my first child. I was like, man, I'm the best mm-hmm. mom. Look how smart my child is. And then I had my second. I'm like, I don't think it was me. I think it was just my son. He was just born that way. He was just gifted.
Right.
So,
but you know, we talk about that too, though. You know, it's interesting you say that, because yes, a lot of it is through natural talent, but also as moms, we do put in a lot of work too, you know, so give yourself some credit, you know. And I want to remind you and me and our listeners that this podcast actually is called Let's Talk About Autism in Hmonglish. So for many reasons, right? So first of all, I feel like in the Hmong community, that's all autism, right? And as you know, in our other group, you know, like, it's such a new thing that people are just now willing to talk about. So when I found you and you were so open and transparent, I was like, I hope we can continue to have these conversations, these very real and open conversations about autism. And then also, I was like, ooh, guhaitia, what in Hmong, that's a struggle for me alone. So let's do Hmonglish, you know. So I recognize that a lot of our parents, you know, we don't want to assume that all are English speaking, right? There are some parents out mm-hmm. there, Hmong parents out there, that maybe learn Hai Lu Hmong. So that's, mm-hmm. I hope that this can be something that can apply to them and they can hear it. And like we said, sometimes when you Nao La Lu Hmong, it's a little comforting. So mm-hmm. feel free to throw Hmong in here, okay? Or, you know, Hmonglish or whatever.
Yeah.
And I hope that our listeners too, you know, if you hear this podcast, that this will be relatable to you, and hearing the Hmong words will, you know, make you feel a little bit safer and relatable and comfortable, and it'll be helpful as well.
Yeah, yeah. Gucci, chopa halomong jong the shi, gumaha halomong le guhatao.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I turned 40 this year, and my mom still gives me a hard time. She's like, "Halin does too." I'm like, you know, mom, it's just not. So I have a lot of things on my plate, and that's just one thing that, you know, it's kind of at the end of the list. But
yeah,
go, you know,
you know, so it's like we don't think about it. We only bring a mong behalo mong topin chach jalu, you know, so then we speak it in Hmong.
Right. Or, you know, another person that is Hmong, you know, and it helps to seal some thought processes, you know. There are just some phrases. It just sounds better in Hmong, right? When speaking to a Hmong person. So,
well, I just like to speak to Hmong to them in Hmong, because it's like a secret language. No one else can understand but us.
Yes. I just saw a video come up on my Facebook memories. So my son is 7, and it was when he was 3 or 4. I didn't really teach him, but we worked a little bit on, like, I would say "kunalala," and he would answer "kunalala," you know. But then now, like, you know. But it's just like you pick and choose what you teach your kids, right? But your mom, Megana, we're like, oh, what's important for me, or what's a cute thing I can teach them, you know?
Yeah, my older one, I never taught him Hmong, and so now that he's 13, he's wanting to learn more.
Oh,
and
good.
So I've been using like phrases on him. I'll say like "kapapawa," like "oh." That's what you say. Oh.
Yeah, hey, that's a response. Yeah, so okay, 北雪的燕山叫母语沟里，right? And I think I've seen some Chinese movies that have characters or plot lines about individuals with autism, and I bet there are more, but let's be honest, we all watch Korean drama, and the first one for me that I saw was, I think, the one I was telling you about. It's okay to not be okay. And I don't know if it's just because that actor, I had seen him in other movies, and he's a great actor. He's an older actor. And so that one, It's Okay to Not Be Okay, he was an older individual, older character. And then what are some of the ones that you told me about and that you have watched?
Well, the Chinese drama with Jet Li, Ocean
Mm-hmm.
Heaven. So I think
Yes.
that was the first one that I watched last year, and it made me cry. Not gonna lie, it made me cry. So it's gonna get better. It's gonna be okay.
Yes. Was
And
this after your son got his diagnosis? Okay.
Then after that I watched Keys to My Heart. So yeah, it's too low and no more autism, and then you play, it's like nishtoka music. This she jolin dao piano and in dao yeah. So like so for that was just amazing, just watching him being able to just play the piano, just like no practice, no learning. And so I watched that and I was really amazed because I'm a musician too. So I watched it and I'm like, yeah, that, I like it. And then I watched Extraordinary Attorney Woo. I really liked that one too. And then the latest one I watched was Move to Heaven. And that one, I think that one's probably my favorite.
Full disclosure, I've been telling me to watch this one, and I've tried so hard. I could not get past the first episode because I think because I don't want to, spoiler alert, okay? Move to Heaven. I mean, I read the synopsis from Netflix, but again, spoiler alert, in the first episode, the character with autism loses his father. Right. So I'm assuming the rest of the series is about him navigating life without his father. And that for me was just incredibly sad. And then not only that, the whole idea of the movie is that they're like I guess like when you have a loved one that passes away, it's they are a service. They come in and they clean up, right? And they take care of all the things that that your loved one left behind. And that was very sad for me. We all have had a lot of life experiences, and that's one thing that really hits home for me, having had a sibling who passed away. And so I think that's why it's really hard for me to get past that, because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just so sad. I'm really. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll have to revisit another time. But that kind of segues to my next question. Is that what about the portrayal of the characters? Y'all actors, actress, yes, actresses. There's one, right? One female character with autism. What about them stood out to you about how they portray their character as an individual who has autism? Like when you watched it, do you feel like, oh, that's a realistic, portrayal, or was that like a exaggerated, or was that like a very mild representation? Like, how do you think they did in portraying their characters?
I think it was kind of mild. I think it was mild because they were still able to have relationships with people in work, and they were still able to communicate. And so to me, I feel like that's mild because and they were taught how to become independent, and mostly did achieve that. independence. So I feel like that, I don't know, maybe it's not mild, but to me, I feel like that was pretty mild.
Based on your life experience, you feel like that was mild.
Yeah.
Do you remember in Extraordinary Attorney Woo, there was that one episode where the client also had autism, and his mom, I think his family was like really rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the son, the one with autism, was accused of killing the older son. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that character, he was, I think, probably in his early 20s. He had very little language. His favorite things were like, wasn't it like a toy or a cartoon character or something, right?
Singing like a kid's song.
But whenever he got really frustrated, the king, right? Mm-hmm. Or and so he was pretty aggressive to others. And so for that character, would you say that that is a more true and accurate portrayal of what you think of when you think of autism?
Yeah, because autism spectrum ni tlatla, so you can't really compare them, but they have similar traits. And so the attorney new call autism is more mild because she can actually like function, but then the client autism was more severe, and so it kind of was able to, you were able to see like on the spectrum, one was over here and one was over there. And so I do think that it was a pretty good portrayal.
But you know, I think, you know, if anyone hasn't seen this specific series, again, sorry, today I and I are just doing spoilers all around. I think the thing that I really stood out to me from this episode is that the attorney, the lawyer, she has this great job, I can hold on a job. I think she has a boyfriend, you know, she, she's a lawyer, right? But she's on the spectrum. And then the client, you know, he is also has autism, but, you know, he still is at home with his mom. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a job. And, you know, he engages in these the behaviors, you know, the aggression and a very limited vocabulary. And yet I thought it was interesting that they show the part where despite the different ends of the spectrum, they both were treated the same by others. You know, when they were outside trying to get a cab, they kind of just overlooked the lawyer, you know, because she seemed kind of different. And they just assumed that she wouldn't know how to pay, right, for the cab or something. And they both got treated the same way. So, you know, I think that was kind of how, you know, we talk about like the different aspects of the autism spectrum disorder. But even if you are on the higher end, I guess, you know, where you are, you can hold a job, there's still a lot of discrimination, you know, and a lot of assumptions out there, you know, that, oh, because you seem different, then, you know, we're just going to get a clump, you know, into this group where, you know, they're not able or capable. And so that was interesting that they put that in there.
I really like that they did that because they were able to show and depict like that like even though you're on the spectrum, even though you have autism, you're not the same. You still have differences. And so they were able to paint that difference for us really clearly.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any specific scenes from any of the movies that resonated with you? Like Kasi yung movies na kapapal or kapasay siya. Oh my gosh, you know, maybe you get the experience kana nakatuminyolo, or you think about, you know, your son is three and your characters na lalaminjig. Do you think like, oh my goodness, you know, what if this happens to them someday in the future? You know, I mean, there's so many ways that plays out, but like, I know, like for Move to Heaven, right? Like the dad. He had made plans for his son, you know, and I think as parents, we think about that, right? Like, who's going to take care of our kids when we are no longer here, you know? And then you add that to that, you know, that autism diagnosis, and it really hits really close to home, you know, and that I think they talk about that a lot in Move to Heaven, or they show that, you know, like the fallout of losing the caretaker. Like, what happens when that caretaker is gone? Who fills those shoes? Like, are there any things, themes from the movies or any scenes that really resonated with you, Ah?
You know, a lot of these shows do, they do connect with the loss of a loved one, and how can the autistic person function or be independent after that fact. And I think that so like, you worry about that, you always think about that. And so with a neurotypical child, you don't, you just tell them like, we don't know if they will ever get there, and that's the scary part. So then be like plan on the hata be yo chun chata itu to name tai po ha bang tu po to yo bitching juponyala. So then that I can relate to, because I do worry. I'm like, if I ever pass away, because you never know when you're going to pass away. You could pass away tonight, tomorrow, next week. You never know. So then I always am worried, if I'm no longer here, who's going to take care of my son? Like, if, how's my husband going to handle it? So I have those fears, and seeing the K-dramas portray that, it's like, it's real. It's really real. And the saddest part of it all is that there's not a lot of help for the adult folks with the autism. There's not a lot of, like in Ocean in Heaven, Jet Li was like struggling so bad to find a facility that was capable of helping his autistic son after he passed, because he knew he was dying. And so that's one thing that I think that in real life it resonates with us. It's like, okay, if my son did grow up and then I were to pass on, me and my husband were to pass on, who would be his caretaker then if he couldn't live independently and function independently? Like, then we talked to our older son, like, it might be you, sorry. you might be his caretaker for the rest of his life. We don't know, but we're gonna prepare for it whether it happens or not, you know, just in case.
Right. I think, of course, it's been a little bit since I watched It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And I think that was the case in that movie, in that the younger brother kind of became like a guardian for the older brother, that has autism, you know. And something that they talk about is kind of feeling like it was a heavy burden, you know, like he was a child too, and he was trying to grow up, and I think they lost their mom, right? So he had to take care of himself and his older brother who had autism, and that was some of his struggles. And so, you know, really being aware of that and taking care of everyone's mental health, you know. And I think a few months ago there was a conversation started about, like, you know, in our Hmong community, it's changing, you know, it's changing a little bit, but let's just say historically and still currently, a lot of Hmong parents rely on le tutunza or le yatu, right? And so, you know, when your son has autism and that framework no longer works, and you realize, okay, so, you know, it's kind of flipped, right? We're having to think about, you know, it's not so much who's going to take care of us, but like, you know, continuing to take, who's going to help me take care of my child with autism, you know? And so I think that these movies really address that too, you know, like you said, planning ahead, thinking about the future, mm-hmm. you know, where does, and I, you know, and I know maybe this is not the best way to state it, but like, where does the burden lie, right? Like, does it lie on the state, you know, the state that you live in? Do we look at funding, you know, like, whether the state provides funding to support your child through old age, you know, like, how do we take the burden off of the parents, right? Mm-hmm. Or like we said, like, off of the siblings. And so it's a conversation that needs to be had. And that's something that we really encourage too, is, you know, having these conversations early. Cause like you said, you never know mm-hmm. when anything's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that watching these movies really forced you to have to think about some things that you're like, I'd rather not think about that, you know, to call it Tushiyama, right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, you just, I think, you know, before I became a parent, I go to families where autism, as a single person, I would be like, oh my gosh, you know, it's so easy, you know, like all the things that we are working with them during the day, you know, when you guys pick them up, just do them at home, you know, I'll coach you through it. And then I become a parent, I'm like, you know, by the time you get off work, you put such a, you can't, you don't have time to do anything. You're just trying to like get through your routine and, you know, get them in bed and do it again the next day, you know? So like really, gosh, understanding and knowing that, you know, as parents, or anything else, right? So you rely on your village, you rely on your service providers to help, right? To address all of the behaviors and teach them all the skills that they need to get them where they are going. And so, you know, like I said, with the movies, you know, it kind of forces you to think, oh my gosh, you know, these are things that we didn't have time to think about, but now it's in my face and I'm watching it and it's so real, you know? And of course, I don't know, you know, everyone's journey is different. There are, you know, we are very, I consider myself very blessed to have met you and just know that, you know, there are Hmong families out there that are having these really, very honest and open conversations with others about their experience. And so sometimes, not just about autism, but about a lot of things, sometimes it's hard to talk about. But when you can watch it in a movie or share like a movie with a family member and say, this is kind of like how our experience was. This movie kind of sort of captures how our experience was. And even though maybe they didn't live it with you or they didn't share that experience with you, but by watching it, they can get a sense of, oh my gosh, those were her struggles. So what would you share with families, members that don't understand your experience as a parent of a child with autism? Like, would you, are there any movies, specific movies or any parts of the movies where you're like, that's how it felt, you know, because sometimes that empathy part's not there. And I say, like, for the families who have never experienced, you know, having a kid with autism, you know, it's really hard for them to understand, you know, what that struggle is like. Because, you know, we talked about how it's hard just to go out in public, you know, because you're afraid your child's going to elope or, you know, they're going to have a meltdown, have a tantrum. So it's really hard to do family outings. But for some families, they're just like, what does that even look like? What does that mean? Right. But then sometimes you explain, they're just like, oh, to me, okay, you know, or, you know, you know, or you're thinking it's beyond that, right?
Yeah.
Like you love your child and you're just like, you know, we can't even do like your basic family functions. And some family members don't really understand that. So like what parts of the movies would you use to explain like, this is what it's like, here it is, you know, on the screen, this is what that looks like, or how that feels like.
I think the most relatable one out of all the shows I watched was really Ocean Heaven, because to see new to about that new life in there, like he knows mm-hmm. he's going to be gone very soon because new more come on, and he had to plan everything out and look for help. He like did whatever it took to try to help his child before Nimua. And like what really like touched me was that Nitututo Tulua, like he's a grown man, he's bigger than Jet Li, but here Jet Li is teaching him how to undress, teaching him where his clothes go, teaching him, putting like notes, sticky notes everywhere saying this is where you put your clothes or this is where the dishes go, teaching him all these things so he can be independent. And that one really hit me the most because it was like, it's like my son, he's 3, nemo bechon to she bekanu bolikan jonli ni chipolin. And so it's like we have to put so much more work, so much more effort into teaching him, and we have to be so patient. Bella o shande chanka, you know, klau klau chande, you know, so we have to be so patient and keep doing it over and over until he gets it. And sometimes he still doesn't get it. And I think that that movie really portrays like that no matter how big they get, and I think that my family doesn't see that, you know, they don't see that it takes so much more effort and so much more patience to get your child to learn just something so simple like getting undressed.
Right. You know, in the process of getting services, we do a lot of evaluations, a lot of assessments. And I think one that I shared with you is where, you know, we do what we call like a age comparison, you know. So call assessment the character function or maybe jolly, right? I can't remember the exact numbers, you know what I mean? But like he is functioning at like a 9-month-old or a 10-month-old. And so that kind of really shows too that so like fine and gross motors are there, but like so you know, just imagine the body of a 3-year-old, right? And so it's like that body disconnect, right? And so that's why, like, you know, right? Because if you think about it, well, he's still functioning at a 9-month level, right? Or 10-month level. And so the progression is a lot slower. But Luke is like trying to catch up, but then it's just not remembering. It's just not recalling. And so we're repeating that same skill every single day, you know? So yeah, definitely. I think that movie, it's been a long time since I watched it, but I thought it was a very interesting choice for Jet Li, and it was very heartwarming too. And such a, you know, a heartwarming portrayal. So I feel like I have to go back and watch that again. And, you know, that was actually before there was this bigger explosion of like autism in the media, you know, even in books or movies. And so I'm really proud to see that that happened even before that whole rush. And so again, this is a segue to my next question for you, is that do you think the Hmong community is ready for a Hmong movie about autism? Whether it's just, you know, I know like we're just now getting more Hmong in the media, you know, Hmong movies out there in the mainstream media. I think there's one or two, but like, I don't know how soon before we can.
I didn't know there was one or two. I wasn't aware of that.
I mean, just like Hmong, Hmong movies, movies about Hmong people by Hmong people, you know what I mean? Like not a Clint Eastwood version of Hmong people, but like, you know, like Hmong people writing, producing movies about Hmong people. I think there's The Harvest. So, and I think it's got a lot.
It, but I did hear about it.
So it's gotten, you know, more publicity. And so, you know, do you think that the Hmong community is ready for a Hmong movie about autism,
I definitely do think that it's long overdue. I think that Hmong community cho mong em mo autism na so to to be po je pe to chi pa san ha ta tu to ne ho mo a chi a chi you know pe san ta to mi nyon cho pa su so I think that your mo a ka movie and ni portray pe cho mong mo autism ke maybe bit you know like our Hmong people can see if pomo itu itu minyo nya po chene or maybe po pao itu minyo e po po tan ni sai le ha so maybe they might think oh maybe that child could have autism or could be on a spectrum and your how movie portray the necessary like interventions to help then maybe that can encourage bit Hmong to say oh good to koto po ja movie no e ni tu mi yo jone no e po po cha tao a te ya pa tao ni ni zan je le e ya ka tu mi yo jone ha ye ka shai movie no je ka ma zai mon cha ku chi yi mon cha jo to ni pa tao ka ha ka tu mi yo so maybe that could be something that could encourage our community to like be able to recognize the autism spectrum maybe a little closer maybe a little more.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that it takes you having to watch a movie to go, oh, that's what we should do, right? But then, like, here we are trying to get this information out, you know, disseminate this information. But sometimes, you know, people are more willing to listen and follow when they see it in, like, I don't know, I guess like an art form, right? It's like getting that message out and that portrayal. I think that people in general are afraid of what they don't know. And then when they can see someone else climb that hill and succeed and do well, they're like, oh, let's do what up, what out here, you know? Mm-hmm. And I hate that it has to be that to get services, but I think you're right, you know? And this kind of is kind of a soapbox that we sometimes get onto whenever we talk about the Hmong perspective on autism too, is that because Shimolalu for autism, then a lot of times they default or fall back on words that are Jizhonglong, right? Lehai, you know, Apilalu is Jizhonglong. And then so I think that totally agree with you. If we could get, if they were to, you know, put a character with autism in a Hmong movie and really dissect it, talk about, you know, what the parents did and to support their kiddo and to help their kiddo. And like really, you know, what we talk about is normalizing having those conversations. And, you know, I always talk about how do we help the elders who don't, understand developmental disability, see these through our lens, you know, and so just like with our kids with autism and us giving them vocabulary, we have to give that generation of parents and Hmong people that vocabulary, you know, and teaching them that it's not that they're different, it's not that they are let you ball, you know, it's that they learn on a different wavelength, you know. In fact, you know, we recently were visiting family and found out that you know, I have a nephew who is on the spectrum and he's 4 and he's nonverbal. And then my daughter is also 4. And, you know, it was very interesting to see her deficits because I was like, she doesn't know her alphabet, you know? And I was like, she can't do a puzzle. And I don't know that she knows all her colors. And then one day he was playing a song by memory, you know? He was playing it on I think on a xylophone or something. And I was like, just like by memory, play the song beautifully. And I was like, and that just goes to show that, you know, the diagnosis means nothing. You know, there's like, he is so smart, right? And he, just because Nihalojitao does not mean that he isn't smart in other areas and know other things, you know, like that's sure, maybe it's a limitation, it's a deficit, but man, he is expressing what he knows in other ways that, you know, like a neurotypical, you know, peer, same age, you know, doesn't have that skill. And so it was a good reminder for me just to encourage, you know, his parents, like, you know, don't let the nonverbal part of this hold you back, you know. So that was a really good example for me to share with her, because I think sometimes it can be discouraging, you know, because as parents, it's hard to not compare, you know. And so I think, you know, Monge, you know, oh, the Mion, the new, hi, Luheng, you know, and they would say about my daughter, Numa, you know, and sometimes that's not nice either, but, you know, that is to infer that new, hi, Lu, right? But then, you know, the, her peer, the other 4-year-old, Nuchi Hailu, but he's so smart. He knows things that my daughter doesn't know. So just because my daughter Molu and Nuchi Molu does not mean that one is smarter than the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like they have their own gifts, their own talents.
Absolutely. And you know, I hope that with ABA therapy that your son will definitely will be discovering his gifts. And, you know, really sometimes it's almost like the ABA hopefully will like extract that, right? Encourage him and push him to the point where he will kind of get over that, what we call it, you know, like he's so close to having that skill, but he's just not quite ready, right? You know, so just getting him there. And so, yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing your views and your thoughts on these K-dramas. I know it's kind of off the beaten track topic, but, you know, you brought it up a few times in our conversations, and I was like, you know, I bet other parents, shaikya movies, not him, like, side the, you know, okay, you know, Koreans, South Koreans are exploring this topic, because a lot of times they don't, you know, individuals don't want to talk about these hard topics, because it might make them feel like, especially if they don't understand it, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know what that looks like. But I think representation matters so much, and it's great to see that on the screen, right?
Yeah.
To see someone, and for me too, for all of these movies, I do feel like the writers, the directors, the actors, for sure, did their homework and portrayed these characters, you know, individuals with autism in such a, I feel like in such a very kind and thoughtful and respectful way.
Beautiful and respectful. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. There are physical, behavioral nuances that they really, you could tell they really do the homework. And, you know, I've been working with individuals with autism for about 16 years now. And it really just gave me chills to watch these characters, excuse me, who were Asian, and to see that the actor and actresses really did their homework and hone in on the different like behavior nuances, the way they held their head, the way they did their posturing of body parts, you know, whether it's like their fingers, if they were stimming, or, you know, when they were even, you know, I think there's one scene in Extraordinary Attorney Wu where when things get really frustrating for her, she just kind of like shuts down, you know, and
She holds her ears, and she needs deep pressure. So someone, like, hug her and give her deep pressure, and it helps her calm down. And then the ocean heaven, he needs to swim to help him regulate. And then for the Keys to My Heart movie or show, he needs to play the piano. So like it's just beautiful how they portray each way that they stem and how they can regulate again.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very happy to see that they went there. You know, they, because sometimes these characters with autism, it's just like a small blip, right? It's just like one very small character plot line. But they really dove in and explored all of the behaviors, all the characteristics and the mannerisms and everything. And I just think, like, especially, I mean, with the character from It's Okay to Not Be Okay, like, I would say out of all of them, his was the most realistic for me.
I haven't seen that one. I gotta watch it.
Yes. And, you know, what I really like, too, is that, you know, our kiddos with autism, they always have that one or two things that they perseverate on, that they are a little obsessed with, you know?
Yeah.
And so this character, he was obsessed with butterflies, you know, that you find throughout the course of the story why. But, you know, like, so I just really appreciate that it was a very realistic, realistic in that they considered all the things about autism, right? Because like we said, it's a spectrum. So every individual is different, but they covered a lot of those bases. And like I said, they did it in such a respectful and kind and loving way. And in real way too, you know, they were not afraid to really address. I mean, like, gosh, you know, Move to Heaven, they talk about, you know, what happens when the caretaker is no longer here. You know, and I promise I will finish watching that one day. I will message you.
What I really love about these movies too is that it's inspirational to see these characters and how they thrive in their lives. And not only that, but that they have such huge support systems in their lives, whether that's through friends or loved ones, they have it in their life, and that's how they can thrive too.
Absolutely. You know, and I hope that with our groups and, you know, with this podcast and just kind of getting this information out there, you know, letting mo minyo a new more autism, you know, the main message kusa hayo, you're not alone. You got anything to say more than now. With autism, a lot of times, you know, in a lot of Asian cultures, if I can be so broad, I hope that with this podcast and with all the other groups out there available, that other families, other parents that learn the same thing. They're lonely. They feel alone. They feel like nobody else understands their journey. And then, you know, so being able to network and get to know other people and their stories, and then realizing that your experiences are very similar and you can help each other, you know. And I think it's always great when they in teenagers or adults, and we've struggled, we were there, this is what we did, or this is what we're doing now. You know, we're still figuring it out too, because every age group, it's a different experience. So there is a community, and we hope that this will contribute to that conversation. You know, really, gosh, what's the best way to say it? Like, God. When disability is, it's very it's challenging to find time, you know, because you are so focused on your child, but also remembering to take time for yourself too. And because at the end of the day, you have to take care of yourself so you can take care of your kiddo.
So, amen. That's true.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Af, for your time. It's been such a pleasure to just chit chat with you about the movies, and we'll continue to have these conversations. And I just appreciate you being so honest and so open, and you know, really, if I may say so, being such a role model for a beacon of light and hope for other parents who may
be struggling, you know, and are like, gosh, I just don't know how to open up, right? Or I'm just not ready to, but when I am, you know, I hope I can be like, ah, and just really just, you know, share what's going on, you know, and really say, I need help, or I want more information, or can you help me, or anything, you know, and just being able to say, because at the bottom of all of it, it's just because you want to help your child, right? So yeah. It's just been really lovely getting to know you.
Yeah, I'm happy that I'm getting to know you and the Otha ladies, and I'm not shy at all. So, you know, if anyone has questions or need help with anything, I am like willing to go out of my way to help where I can as well. So I'm glad I can shine some light in, and I really enjoy sharing bits and pieces of my life, because I feel like I can't really find information out there, you know? So if I could share a little bit of my life, maybe that someone can see, you know, those little bits that I share, and maybe that can inspire them or give them a little hope. So that's why I do what I do. So thank you for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you.